All right, guys, welcome to the Graceful Grizzly Podcast. My name is Mauricio, and with me, as always, is my awesome friend Tyler.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Listen, episode 2 is happening right now.
Can you even believe it?
Can you smell what the grizzlies?
Last time we were, it was episode 1. Mm-hmm. I was there, you were there.
Yep.
This time, same situation, but it's number 2.
It's number, yeah, that would be how sequence of numbers work.
That is podcast life.
I think we've got that.
Can you believe it? You know, I don't want to go too far without looking back on all our success so far.
What do we always say? We have arrived.
We have arrived. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think we should really just take a moment to look back on all of the success we've had in episode numbers 1 through 2.
1 through 2. Man, we're just so excited. Just because I think we are now getting into a rhythm, and you guys have been awesome on all of our social media, Facebook, Instagram. You guys have just been amazing. And we want to take a chance to thank our Patreon people. So Tyler's got our Patreon people.
Oh my goodness, there's new people. So last week we had Grant, right?
Right.
Still with us. Mm-hmm. And 2 new people, family of mine, stepping up to contribute to the podcast.
Yeah.
So Kathy and Susan, amazing, amazing family members. Dude. I couldn't be here without my mother, Susan. Yeah. And so we just want to thank you both for your contributions.
Seriously, you guys are helping us fulfill this awesome dream of reaching so many people and encouraging them. So thank you so much for being awesome and birthing Tyler.
Yeah, that was a big part of the podcast, really. That was great. It kind of had to happen.
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing this if Tyler wasn't here.
And so, in all seriousness as well, the Instagram, Mauricio, you know, we've just been seeing so many people coming through, you know, just giving us positive feedback on episode 1, hanging out with us. The follower count's growing. I mean, it's amazing, dude.
Yeah, it's exciting. And that's mainly because of the Instagram followers. They're awesome. We put out content, they respond. So if you are some of the people, we're going to do a couple shout outs here. We did do a question out there. We said, what is your spirit animal? And we did say that the best response is going to get a shout out. So So the spirit animal one, the person that won that was this guy named Gilofet 433. Okay, Gilofet 433, or it could be Gilofet. I have no idea. They said that they are like a turtle, persistent and calm. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know,
that's thoughtful.
Seriously.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they were
heroes on a half shell.
So persistent in their efforts to fight crime.
And eat pizza.
And eat so much pizza.
Oh my gosh. Like, you would think they didn't ever seem to gain weight either. There was always like that slightly muscly turtle, and they would just fight crime and they would eat pizza. And it's like, oh, well, it doesn't work for us in our age.
I think what I've learned from this show is that you can eat whatever you want and still stay skinny as long as you fight crime.
It works, dude. I think when you do eat that amount of pizza, always have a giant rat with you that is also your sensei master. That's the key, maybe. What was his name?
Oh
my God.
Oh, it wasn't Shredder.
Shredder's the bad guy.
Oh, crap. People hate
Sifu?
Us.
Shifu?
No.
No, that's from Kung Fu Panda. We will Google that. If anybody knows out there, let us know.
Oh, no. People are so mad right now.
Oh, my gosh. It's okay. How could you not know what the rat's name is?
Listen, guys, get used to it, okay?
Yeah, we don't have a person to, you know, we are looking for a person to Google things for us.
So. Oh, I got it. Okay, ready? Okay, Google. What is the rat from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
This is actually... Here's a summary from the website. Master Splinter.
Did she say Splinter?
Yeah.
Oh!
Listen, this is actually happening. This has never happened before, but this is going on.
Okay, Google, stop.
Seriously. So, shout out to Google for being our assistant today. Yeah,
and listening in on this conversation.
And we're going to get ads for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles later on our Facebook.
Popping up everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah. So, that was an awesome person that did that. We also have, let me see here, Pretzel Monkey 9000. Shout out to you. We said, what is the best compliment that you've ever had? And they said, somebody once told me, I am not as ugly as somebody told me you were. So basically saying, hey, you're a little prettier than I thought you were. So, you know, that's, yeah, I know. That's awesome. So shout out to them. Another Instagram person we want to shout out is Erica. She is hustling. She's definitely part of the Grizzly fam. She's going out there tagging us on things, posting about us.
Yes.
We've definitely gained some followers. So shout out to Erica. You're going to get a Graceful Grizzly sticker. So
yes. Yeah. Congratulations.
So we're going to send you that. And so that's our shout outs. Tyler has actually a surprise announcement for you guys. So
I do. Listen, guys, you know what season it is. Ooh. It's the holiday season.
Yeah.
And we're all getting ready to get our gifts together, right? We got to give our gifts. We got to get our wish list together. If you're someone who's just not sure what you want to get, or you're not sure what you want to get someone else, head on over to GracefulGrizzly.com, where we will be giving you our fine-tuned, hand-picked holiday gift guide.
Listen, we have scoured the internet.
Yes.
Looking
for
gifts that kind of match the Graceful Grizzly philosophy. And the fact that we are going to give you this PDF guide for free, and all you have to do is give us an email.
Come on, guys.
Come on, man. Listen, I love free. Free is for me. Free is awesome. Get it.
Yes.
Get the thing, man.
Seriously, the time that it's going to save you and all that mental frustration of trying to pick out gifts, it's totally worth the non-money.
The absolutely free money.
Yes.
And as always, we promise not to spam you. Because
we will not spam you.
Absolutely not. People don't like getting spammed.
We're all about friendship, and friends don't spam friends. Let's be real.
Yeah, unless it's a bag of spam that you can fry.
Yeah.
Which, even then, it's kind of dicey.
I mean, would I want that?
Yeah, would I want a bag of spam? If you bring a bag of spam to your friend's house and say, hey, or you just got spammed. Yeah. So we're trying not to spam you, but listen, guys, it's awesome. It's got price guides, so from $5 to $10, $25 to $50, $55. You know, it's got all the budgets for you and all the Amazon links on there, so you're just able to click it. We're super excited to just give back to you guys because you guys are awesome. You're out there listening, so.
Yeah, and they're really cool, unique gifts, too. It's not just like the same run-of-the-mill stuff that you're going to see on the front page of Amazon or whatever. Like, there's some really cool ones in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check it out.
Yeah, one gift that I would just say, just to throw it out there, is they are Velociraptor lawn ornaments. Yeah, you heard me say all those words together. Yeah, they're out there, and they cost. And now, if you were always looking, man, where can I add a little Jurassic Park theme to my yard?
Exactly. How many times have you thought, I need dinosaurs in my yard?
How many times have you wanted to scare those children that want to run around in your yard? Velociraptors will help.
We have the solution.
So, I'm telling you, it's exciting. So yeah, get on there and you know, put in your email, and we will send you that PDF absolutely free to get you ready for the holidays.
Yes.
All right, Tyler, what's coming up now in our podcast?
All right, well, we're going to move into our first segment, which is nightly news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, we have some really cool news stories this week.
Okay.
So the first one that I want to talk about is, here's the headline. After 99-year-old expresses wish to meet a penguin, her entire nursing home is delighted by a surprise visit.
What?
From a penguin.
Listen, I'm just going to throw it out there. Penguins, best suited bird in the animal kingdom. Okay? But listen, they just look good, man. They got their little tuxedo going on. They're waddling. You know,
dude, it's so heartwarming to just hear stories like this. Yeah. And you're like, where does this kind of thing happen? It's so cool. Yeah. So you're 99 years old. Mm-hmm. You have this lifelong wish to meet a penguin of all things. And you express this to someone in confidence, no doubt. And the next thing you know, there's a penguin at your nursing home. It's cool, man. And honestly, how much do these animals, they do this kind of thing at nursing homes and that kind of thing, like therapy animals, right?
Yeah,
how cool is that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think we're both, you know, semi-animal lovers. We can't have animals in our apartment right now, but, you know, I love animals, and I think they do bring some kind of therapeuticness to your life, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I can't imagine, man. I've seen service dogs, and they're cute, but you come up with a penguin, man.
Right.
An Arctic bird.
It's so cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. So they seem really happy in that retirement home, and their faces kind of lit up, you know?
Oh, dude, she looks so pleased.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Look at this guy.
I know. It's so happy.
So this, what, you know what this reminded me of when I read it was the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh yes.
You know what that is, right?
Yep. Yep.
So I started thinking about it. There was this really amazing story that I found with a kid that wanted, you know, it was a Make-A-Wish thing. He had actually, he was a, it was, this happened in 1989. He was a 9-year-old kid. His name's Craig Shergold. And he actually had a brain tumor. Oh. And so, I mean, nine-year-old kid, just an absolute fighter, right?
Right, right.
Like, absolutely not giving up, battling this brain tumor, and has this wish of all things. He wants to get the most get well cards ever.
Wow.
He wants to break the record for the most get well cards sent to him, right? Okay. Like, such a odd and sort of, like,
usually you want to meet a celebrity or you know, you want to do that kind of stuff, but he wants to do,
dude, so he just goes for it. He's like, I don't want the second best, I don't want the second most, I want the most cards ever,
world record.
So this is actually a really hilarious story. So in 1989 he goes to Make-A-Wish Foundation. They actually can't fulfill this kind of wish for some reason. They have some sort of policy against, I think it had something to do with the mailing. So another foundation called the Children's Wish Foundation stepped in and agreed to do it. By the end of 1991, Craig had destroyed the Guinness World Record with 35 million get well cards, dude.
How is that even possible?
Just absolutely hilarious.
That, and then, mail, like, guy must have been like, oh.
Dude, no, well, this is what happened, is his family actually, I was reading about this, his family had to move from their house because they were getting so spammed with cards, they lost it and they moved away.
Yeah.
So eventually this Make-A-Wish Foundation, or this Children's Wish Foundation, actually ended up forwarding all these cards to, like, a facility where they had to, like, staff it with, like, 40 volunteers just to hover around these cards. And, like, I couldn't believe it. I just thought that was, like, the most odd sort of, like, why would you wish for that? But at the same time, like, this kid, like, through all the publicity, actually, like, some rich businessman actually heard about his thing and paid for him to get his surgery.
That's nuts.
And, like, living living it to this day.
So that's awesome, though. I think that that's the whole point of, like, people doing nice things for people, that, you know, something happens and then it infects other people and they're like, man, I, you know, can you imagine just, like, every single day getting a giant stack of get well cards? Maybe it was just the power of the get well cards that made him well. Like, seriously.
Right, like, it just saved his life.
That's amazing.
The positivity, man.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, here at Graceful Grizzly, we want to encourage you guys, don't just look at the terrible articles on the internet. Go and look at some positive stuff, you know.
There's some positivity out there.
Oh, man.
Like this next one. Which we have to decide, is this positive or is this not positive?
I think this is pretty good, man. So we got the Jungle Cruise trailer. Now, we all know The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dude.
Guy is literally becoming a rock. He is so big. Like, he's crazy.
He's a legend, man.
Yeah, he's just gigantic. So I guess he just came out with his new movie, Jungle Cruise. And we want to talk about it a little bit because, man, that trailer is just epic.
My question is, what the heck movie is Dwayne The Rock Johnson not in?
No, that's what I'm thinking.
Right?
He's in everything. It's crazy.
When
it's
does, like, the guy sleep?
I don't know. Because he's up. He's up at 4:30 every day to work out, which I think is awesome. I'm up, you know, in the mornings, but not at 4:30. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, no, forget about it.
And he eats, you know, a crazy amount of food every day. I think it's like 5,000 calories a day. So, you know, I mean, what, I feel like this trailer was more like, it kind of reminded me of The Mummy a little bit, kind of reminded me of, like, you know, like an Indiana Jones a little bit, you know, it kind of had that feel.
It really did. It actually, you mentioned the thing, which we'll get to, about the rides.
Yeah.
It actually, it reminded me a lot of, like, a Pirates of the Caribbean, where with, like, a female protagonist.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, and she's, like, really tough and cool and, like, sly and but, like, action packed and I don't know, it looks fun.
Yeah, it's like a little, it'll be a good romp, you know. You go to a theater for a rock movie, and I feel like, you, whenever you see a rock in a theater, you're like, yeah, I guess I'll go watch that. You know, he hasn't done a terrible movie yet. You know, I can't think of any right now off the top of my head. Maybe he did do The Tooth Fairy, I think. That was one movie where he's like a... He's like a football player, and he adopts a kid or has a kid or something. I don't know. Anyway, that was back when The Rock didn't
either
really
has
know.
A kid or he adopts a kid.
They were so bad with this. So he, so that's probably one of the, you know, then he started getting better and you know, throwing in anything. But yeah, it does remind me of Pirates of the Caribbean. It also reminds me that Disney is really taking over.
They really are, man. Dude. Like, I feel like they own half of entertainment.
Yep.
Right?
I think so. Yeah. Well, once they took Marvel, it's like, all right, I guess this is how you're going to play Disney. And then that Disney Plus came out.
Is that out now?
Everybody is talking about it. It's crazy. I think it's $6.99 or something like that. But yeah, so they are definitely
wild
in every realm, every crevice. You know, I'm pretty sure I saw Mickey Mouse somewhere in Pennsylvania. It's just they're everywhere, you know? So, but yeah, Jungle Cruise looks fun. Man. I mean, I'm probably going to go watch it and, you know, take the kiddos and, you know, watch The Rock smash things and stuff. I can't get over.
The guy's actually such a beast. And I just can't believe, we're joking about like, when does this guy sleep? Like, I almost, like at the same time, I kind of like, when does this guy sleep? Like he's in every movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on like magazines. I mean, you see him everywhere. It's like he's really just grabbing life.
He's
and,
got
like,
his own, what's this thing called? He's got his own clothing line now, which is called Project Rock. He did it with Under Armour. So he's got that going, which is huge. You know, every time he drops a new shoe, it sells out in 2 days or less than 2 days. Like, it's crazy. So like I just want to talk about like his influence though. Like he's got, I don't know, a bunch of followers on Instagram, like over, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, a lot of people on there. And it's just like he seems like, every time I watch an interview, he seems like just a nice guy.
I know. He's like suspiciously likable.
Yeah, you're like, Rock, what are you doing?
What are you hiding?
Yeah, you know.
But at the same time, he's probably just actually like a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, man.
If he is listening to this, we didn't say anything bad about you because he'd probably find us.
Oh, yeah. He would.
Yeah.
Probably do something really evil. Let's hope he's listening, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be nice. Hey, Rock, listen. If you're listening, we appreciate you here at Graceful Grizzly. Don't eat us. So that trailer looked good. Definitely going to do it.
Dude, so this one's like actually really really heartwarming, too. It reminds me a little bit of the Barber story from last week.
Oh, okay.
Dude. And it basically, the story is that this man is traveling to all 50 states to mow lawns for those in need.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think I've heard of this guy, and I also read the article. I think he is going around, man, but like the guy seems just like an average guy mowing a lawn, but he is choosing to do this in all 50 states, and he's choosing to do it with people that can't mow their own lawns. I think that's awesome.
It is cool. It said something about how like he saw one day somebody, like an elderly person, like mowing their lawn.
Yeah.
And he went over to help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about that, and I'm like, it's really cool and inspiring, because I feel like sometimes I get in my own head a little bit too much about that kind of stuff.
Right,
like,
right.
If I go over to help this person, are they going to be offended that you know, I thought that they couldn't do it themselves, or, you know, and I think there's certain people like this that are just like an inspiration, that they're not really concerned with, like, you know, necessarily offending someone. They're just more interested in like, I'm going to try to help, you know, I'm not here to try to like power trip or anything like that. Like, I just want to help people out. And now it's turning into this amazing thing where he's touring the country, basically doing this for people.
Yeah.
And like, what a media influence that he's got.
Yeah. It's crazy, just because like people, we do live in an offended age too. Like, people do get offended if you offer help or if you do, you know, so I think that kind of builds like that kind of feeling in us where we're like, well, you know, I'm just gonna, you know, like, I remember watching old movies, and I remember always like the neighbor, like if you move into a neighborhood, the neighbor lady comes up with a pie. You know, says, welcome to the neighbor. I've never gotten a pie, Tyler.
Oh, what, not
you,
once.
You know, like, are people offended? And dude, if you're out there, bake me a pie, okay? I've never had a hot pie cooling on my windowsill. You know, it's just like, it's one of those like old.
I'm feeling bad right now because you moved into our apartment complex and I never brought you a single pie.
Dude, no, but you gave me brisket.
And we talked about,
yeah, so that was my welcome to the apartment.
Which is better than pie, really. Absolutely, let's be real.
Absolutely brisket. And somebody said that listened to it said, you know, we really want you to get into the detail of the brisket. Like, how delicious was it? Listen, it was delicious. It was smoked. It had, I swear it had like peppercorn or something on it, like a rub. That's a
good guess.
It had a rub on it.
Interesting that you would say that. I can't give away the secrets.
No, don't.
That's the problem. But.
You know, but yeah, it definitely had some kind of smokiness to it. So yeah, man. I'm not going to get nostalgic about this brisket, but it's definitely good. It had a nice smoke ring on it. It was.
Oh, you noticed that?
Oh, dude, come on, bro.
Wow, I'm impressed. Yeah, I'm impressed.
I love that brisket, man. But yeah, shout out to this guy, man. He is mowing lawns. What's his name? Rodney, I think. Rodney Smith.
Yeah, it looks like Rodney Smith. Yeah, man, on a mission.
Yeah, we will find you on Instagram. And a quick update, Marky Fresh, which was the barber we talked about last episode, we reached out to him on Instagram and he's super excited, followed our account. We followed all of his. So shout out to Mark, if you're listening, man, you're awesome for doing what you did. So he's out there and our Insta family is just growing. So yeah, shout out to Rodney, man. That's awesome.
It's really cool. That's such a cool mission.
Mm-hmm.
And he's taking people under his wing too.
Really?
A little deeper into it. It looks like he's, you know, bringing on some maybe like neighborhood kids.
Okay.
Younger guys maybe specifically that maybe just don't, you know, they need help. They don't maybe know what it means to how to mow a lawn. Maybe they don't know how a lawnmower works. Oh, yeah. You know, it sounds silly, but it's like those are really valuable skills you got to have at some point. And
that was the way to make money back then, too,
right?
You know, and I think people still do it. I think more like now where we live, it's going to be snow and shovels and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I think, and he actually, I think he talked about it too. He wants to do 7 continents in 7 weeks or something like that. So he's going to spend a week in each continent.
My question is, how do you mow a lawn on Antarctica?
That's what, so that, he's going to get the penguins from the previous article. He's going to teach
those penguins. Penguins are going to be so confused, man.
Oh, you're like, what? So he wants to do it. And he did say, well, it's going to be a challenge in Antarctica or wherever. And he said, well, maybe I'll just shovel snow instead of cutting grass.
Okay.
Because maybe there's some elderly scientists out there. They can't shovel their own snow in Antarctica.
That's the truth.
So, you know. So, yeah. Shout out to Rodney, man. You're awesome. And you get the Grizzly Seal of Approval from us because you're awesome.
Good
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, man. Dude, what's our next segment?
All right, what do you say about some quick questions? My first one for you. You already mentioned it. But I want to talk about what is your spirit animal, and I am so excited to hear what you say.
Man, I want to say, all right, my spirit animal is, I think we have to not include bear, only because that's both of our...
Right, because then you only
primary spirit. It, right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, which we had a fight over it or something.
Yeah, like, oh no, I want to be a bear. No, so we'll exclude the bear right now. I think if I had to pick one, man, it'd probably be... what's it call it? Oh my gosh, a platypus, man.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, I like weird looking animals. This thing lays eggs, which is super weird too. Like, it kind of looks like a duck, but it's a mammal. You know, like it is a weird animal. I think I like the fact that it's so weird, and I like the fact that it's got just a bunch of weird facts to it. You know, it's got like a weird beaver tail, lays eggs, got poisonous barbs on its feet too, so that predators kind of get at it, you know. It's aggressive, but it's weird, so you kind of don't, you know, like I like the fact that a platypus kind of does whatever the platypus wants to
keeps you wondering, like, what's the deal here? Dude? Yeah.
Pick a species.
You've heard platypus. People say it's like the leftovers that God had from like all the animals, and it was like, well, yep. Chuck one of these.
Yeah, we'll put some of that in there. Why not make it lay eggs? You know, why not? You know, so yeah, platypus, you are an underrated animal. You're super cool. Other animal that's kind of close to my heart, too, is the narwhal. That thing is like, dude, it's basically a whale unicorn. It really is. And it's just out there hanging out in the ocean with a horn, you know? So those are kind of the two that are kind of close to my heart, but I really do kind of relate to those, so... I'm curious about you, Ty, man.
Yeah, it was a tough one because I had to think about it for a while, and and then it kind of hit me. It was really obvious. I ran this by my wife, so I think this is approved.
So certified for sure.
My spirit animal is Mark Wahlberg.
What do you mean Mark Wahlberg?
And
he's not even an animal. Well,
he's an animal.
He's an animal. Yeah, that could be. Yeah. All right.
You know what?
I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. That's just. What?
No,
somebody did say a bunch of stuff like non-animal related on our questions. So I guess, yeah. All right. We'll give you a pass on that. But what you need to explain this time.
Okay. He's short, like myself. I relate to short dudes, right? Short, he's scrappy, he's a little scrappy,
mm-hmm.
All right, but he's got a sensitive side,
right?
And he grew up in bands,
really.
And I was like, I didn't know he was musical. And to be honest, I've just always had a man crush on Mark Wahlberg a little bit, so it's kind of like I kind of, you know, just had to say it anyways. Yeah, but,
Mark Wahlberg, man, shout out to Mark Wahlberg,
right? I'm still searching for my animal. I gotta find it.
Keep looking for it, man. But Mark Wahlberg is a great answer. If we're gonna talk about man crushes, shout out to Jason Momoa.
Ooh,
dude, telling you, bro, that guy. Have you seen a picture of him walking with bodyguards?
Oh man,
it's like ridiculous. Like he's like a foot taller than his bodyguards. And there's like a meme out there that says, "Hey, you know, Jason Momoa looks like the final boss, and you have to fight the mini bosses before you get to him in a video game. He is huge, you know."
They should just play boss music every time he walks into a room, right? Like,
and then he's the most playful, like hanging out, joking around, you know. He's kind of like a bro's bro, you know.
Is he cool? Like, I haven't really seen any like interviews with him or anything.
Yeah, he's very he's very playful, and I think. Because he's his size, too. Maybe that's my spirit animal as well.
Jason Momoa.
Dude, we can be Mark Wahlberg and Jason Momoa.
Well, I think we need to
for Halloween.
Oh my gosh, that's a good idea.
Dude, I'm telling you.
I got to get a little bit more buff.
Just a tiny bit, too much. You're not too far off.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Listen, you're right there. You're right on the door of Mark Wahlberg. Depends on what movie.
Yeah, that one where he like got chubby and like
oh my gosh. No, I did post, I said I put Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan on our Instagram, and I said, is this a good, and dude, overwhelmingly 90-95% of people said that should be your Halloween costume next year.
Yeah, so,
yeah, dude, you can be Hulkamania and I can be Macho Man Randy Savage.
I love that idea.
So I don't know how we got to this. Spirit, dude, that's awesome.
The conversation's flowing.
I'm telling you, I appreciate your honesty with Mark Wahlberg coming in for the win.
You know, it just hit me. Mm-hmm. You know, I just had to go for it. So I wanted to talk about this next quick question here. Mm-hmm. Describe a time you had a positive experience with a culture or ethnicity other than your own.
Ooh, I like this.
Yeah.
Man, I like this. Well, it's funny because I think, so my family's from Honduras. I grew up in Miami. And I think we had so many different cultures only because so many different parts of Central America, South America, Mexico, and the Caribbean, they all kind of convened in Florida. So they were all technically, you know, Hispanic, Latino, Spanish. But the vast differences between someone from Mexico or someone from Cuba, someone from the Caribbean or someone from, you know, Brazil, it's crazy to me. So I guess I was exposed early on to different ethnicities, but the one certain group that I really did love was people from Haiti. People from Haiti mm-hmm. are just, sometimes they could just be, you know, very about themselves, about their group, but then there's moments where if you help them out or do something, they are so kind to you. Mm. Their situation is not the best situation. Their country is not in the best, you know, standing as far as socioeconomical thing. They're really, you know, they speak French Creole, so it's kind of like broken English, broken Creole and French and all that. So all this kind of like mixture. But they, once you do something, and I've noticed this because I worked in restaurants my whole life, you know, growing around people of the Haitian descent. When you do something nice for them, man, they will do anything for you. you know. Yeah. And they've got a whole network of people. So if you need a doctor, they've got a Haitian doctor for you. If you need a mechanic, they got somebody from the island that can fix up your car for not too expensive, if you know what I mean. You know, and they were just some of the kindest people. They make this awesome soup, and what is it called? It's like I don't know what it's called, but it's like got like potatoes in it and a meat and like which I guess meat and potatoes like the universal I love you kind of ingredients for soup.
Yeah,
you know, like
sure,
dude. Awesome, you know, and so, and then pieces of dough in there, and you would eat it. So, you know, every time I spend time around them, we joke around. I think it was just such a cool experience to see that people that may seem downtrodden by other people and kind of like, you know, you're not in the best situation, they are so happy and they're just happy to be working, they're happy to be around other people. So, yeah, Haiti, man, those people are awesome, and I do miss being around them only because of how cool they were with me, you know? So
yeah, that's a really cool answer, man.
Dude, yeah. Haiti, shout out to them. How about you, man?
Honestly, I didn't think about this enough. Mm-hmm. And then I was thinking there's a bunch. Like mm-hmm. there really are a few that I could choose. I think if I'm honest, there was one that really stood out to me, mm-hmm. you know, because we're talking about your background, my yeah. background, like where I grew up. It's mostly a white community, yep. you know, it's mm-hmm. like sort of small farm town.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's pros and cons to that kind of thing. Like it's kind of tight knit in a way, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you know, it's maybe not always extremely exposed to different types of cultures and ethnicities.
Right.
And yeah. so I was always fortunate to have, you know, parents and family and close friends that were really, you know, open-minded. And so that's, you know, that was good because that gave me the mind I needed to then go into the world and experience other cultures yeah. and really develop, like choose, you know, find that I really love certain things about other cultures and even sort of crave that, like in myself. Like, I think it's so cool when I talk to you and you're like, oh yeah, you know, this is my background and I have this yeah. cultural heritage. And you know, maybe there wasn't quite as much of that for me, mm-hmm. but I love now that I can, you know, I can look at all these different cultures and sort of be like, this is so cool. For instance, like one of them was like, mm-hmm. I discovered Asian food.
Ooh, yeah.
Asian
yeah, yeah.
cuisine, dude. And oh. like, it is mind blowing.
All the different layers of flavors
it
that
is
you get.
Amazing.
Like with a nice bowl of ramen or something like that.
We literally, me and Katie got ramen last night at this really amazing, and I'll just do a quick shout out.
Go ahead, dude.
This place called Nagoya.
Ooh.
And they do, it's Japanese, you know,
yeah.
they do sushi rolls and all that stuff if you want that. They do a lot of seafood, and then they do a lot of like ramen dishes and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of ramen. Mm-hmm. And the flavors, like you said, the layers of flavors yeah. is just so far beyond what we mm-hmm. craft, like what we brand as sort of American food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I love a good burger. Don't get me wrong. I love a good burger, 100%. Some French fries, whatever. But man, like that's simple stuff compared mm-hmm. to the layers of flavor that you get in the days and mm-hmm. sometimes maybe even, you know, days and weeks of preparation.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
So yeah, they're kind of a close-knit community too. I feel like they want the whole family dynamic. They're very respectful of their elders, you know, even more so than how we are in America.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, yeah, we got something kind of, you know, sometimes we just get so self-indulgent, you know?
Yeah. And that same attention that they give to like their family dynamic and mm-hmm. the respect they have for their elders, you know, and I feel like it's just like a respectful culture in a lot of ways.
Right.
Like I'm really, obviously we're generalizing here, talking mm-hmm. about Asian cultures in general.
Yeah,
that's a
yeah.
lot of different cultures. But mm-hmm. from what, you know, my experience has been, it's just like, you know, going to this Nagoya, this Japanese restaurant, and
yeah.
they just really have a respect for the food. Like, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten it wrong a little bit in America with the way that we deal with food.
Yep.
It's such a fast food culture, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Microwave culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've literally, like, I've read stories about how, like, your body actually needs that time of, like, cooking to, like, to get ready to eat and digest.
Oh, yeah. I think it's, like, 20 minutes. You get 20 minutes for your stomach to realize, hey, you're eating, buddy. Like,
yeah,
you know, and I'm telling you, I'm pretty sure my stomach has PTSD from the things that I've had when I was 16, 17, that, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm just gonna shovel this, you know. We used to get a double cheeseburger, a McChicken, and a McChicken, a double cheeseburger, and a burger from Wendy's, and we used to smash it together and eat it. And just to see what it would taste like, you know? So, like, yeah, definitely got it wrong with culture like that. And it's just, we got to stop, man. We got to stop eating so much. Me included.
So that's actually a perfect segue to my next question, is if you could choose one snack food or like snack drink or whatever, junk food, whatever you want, to eat as much as you want of it for the rest of your life with no sort of negative side effects or like health problems or anything like that.
Yeah.
What would you choose?
Man, that's tough. So many food items are rushing through my head right now.
Mountain Dew Code Red.
Yes, the official sponsor of GracefulGrizzly.com. Just kidding. Don't sue us, Mountain Dew. But you are delicious. No, I think, honestly, I think burgers. Something about burgers for me have a special part in my heart. I love a good burger. I love different kinds of burgers. I like when people get all crazy with them, but I also like the simplicity of just basic patty, salt, pepper, and cheese. You know, maybe some ketchup and mustard, maybe some pickles, but on good bread. It's got to be good bread. It's got to be that potato bread.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do.
That Hawaiian bread. Oh, gosh, that bread, it just toasts so good. So, yeah, if I didn't have any health risks of dying sooner, I would definitely go burgers all day.
I had a rodeo burger the other day.
Oh, really?
You know what that is?
Yeah, I think.
Like, with the barbecue sauce and, like, the fried onions. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, dude, it was delicious. Yeah.
My thing is, like, why is that a rodeo burger? Like, in the sense of, like, do onion rings always make a rodeo? Like, if you put barbecue, can you make anything rodeo? Can you put barbecue and onions on anything and just be like, all right, this is a rodeo
here?
You know what I mean? Like, is it?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure people at the rodeo are people at the rodeo just eating onion rings and barbecue, and that's just like, that's what they're doing, like, out there.
This is my radio grilled cheese.
Yeah,
this is my radio ham sandwich.
This is my rodeo milkshake. You know, it's that's gross.
Say radio? Yeah,
yeah,
rodeo. Yeah.
It's one of those things. Like, I don't know.
Dude. Yeah, that's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. How does something get branded rodeo?
Yeah. So what's your thing?
I don't know. So snack foods, it's going to sound so basic compared to a burger, but I think I just have to go with chips, man.
Oh, it's chips, man.
I can crush a bag of chips. What's your
favorite? Do you like Doritos?
I love Doritos.
Oh, man.
Here's the thing. I don't get Doritos a lot because I know that they're just like covered in who knows what.
Yeah.
And so
some kind of mysterious cheese powder.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
dude, I could crush a bag of Doritos, like, no problem. Oh, or like, for me also, like, chips and like nacho cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Wait, so this is important. This is probably something that our listeners want to know. Are you a Cool Ranch guy? Or are you a original Dorito guy?
Dude, okay, so I think I changed somewhere along my life. I went from Cool Ranch guy as a kid, and I think I grew into nacho cheese flavored.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I think I'm there now.
Okay.
I don't know, man. There's
something
classic.
All grow in our journey, dude. So,
right?
Yeah, you know, I'm still a Cool Ranch guy, only because I love Cool Ranch, man. It's one of my things.
I'd be interested in knowing if our listeners, you know, maybe we do a poll, because I'd like to know, are you a Cool Ranch person or are you a nacho cheese? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Because that'll determine the trajectory of your life.
The trajectory of also our podcast. I mean, if we find out that all of our listeners are Cool Ranch people, we're going to have to change what we do.
We have to not. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to feel. So, yeah, we'll put that poll up there on Instagram. You guys can answer Cool Ranch or nacho cheese, because, you know, that's important. Also, Fritos has this one chip. It's like a twisty. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Frito, but it's twisted. And it's got this weird powder on it.
The barbecue flavored one.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, dude.
I love that stuff.
Those are so good. So, just wanted to bring that out there. If we're going to talk about chips, that's definitely the champagne of chips. The little twisties. I don't know what they're called. I think they're called
Little Twisties. That's what they're called.
That's what they're called now.
That's their rapper name.
Yeah.
Little Twisty.
Why is it always Lil?
I don't know, man.
Dude.
Somewhere along the line, that became the trend.
Oh, my gosh, man.
All right, dude. So, I want to give you one more question, okay? Right,
go ahead.
So,
hit me.
And this is a cool one. What is the best compliment you've ever received?
Man.
Wait, did we already do this one? No,
So we talked about our Instagram followers. They did, they answered. We got a bunch of answers.
Yeah.
Couple people were, you're going to be the next Sadie Roberts. Somebody said, all these you've got the coolest squad I've ever seen. So all these compliments kind of go.
That's actually really interesting.
I'm the kind of person, like, if you compliment me, it's hard for me not to say, like, you're right. I try not to. But at the same time, I'm like, yeah, you're pretty on point. But
you're not wrong.
Yeah, there you go. You're not wrong is what my usual response is. So I think the best compliment, somebody said once, they said, man, the amount of pressure that you are able to handle at your job is crazy. And that was when, a couple times I was cooking and somebody said, man, you're so like focused and calm and all this stuff. So that was one of the compliments that kind of stuck with me, because I realized if I can do this in a 90-degree kitchen screaming at people, then, everything comes after this is going to be okay. So it's kind of like one of those, like, head chef was kind of like, hey, I like how cool and calm and collected you are. And you don't, but that's also because I had Jesus in my heart, and that was like the thing where I was like, I can't really act like these guys, and get angry. But that was one of the better compliments, because it made me feel like, okay, cool. Like, somebody is actually acknowledging that I'm not going crazy right now, So
That's the best, when you have like a boss or someone that tells you like you're doing a good job. Like,
100%.
That feels great.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit, but like restaurant life, like working in restaurants is extremely stressful. I've only just touched on it a bit, but like, I can imagine, from everything I see and hear about restaurant, like working as a restaurant it's extremely stressful, because you're constantly serving people and everybody's impatient, and so the fact that you can keep a cool head probably really does speak to, your character. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it did help. And only because, like you said, that culture's so rough. Everyone's kind of, milling around wanting to be angry at each other, and you're like, you've got to be the point of reason and keep your head cool so that you can continue to get the tickets out and all that stuff. And luckily I'm not doing that anymore, because it was definitely, I did have high blood pressure. And the issue too is like, if you're hungry there in a restaurant and you're the cook, you can just throw something on the grill and eat it. And so you gain like 500 pounds at least. So, no one trusts a skinny chef. So,
he doesn't taste his food.
Yeah, he doesn't eat that guy, so. But yeah, man, what's the best compliment you've ever heard, Tyler?
So this one actually was a pretty quick first thing that came to mind, actually.
Yeah.
It was really quick. When I got married, my brother was my best man, and his best man speech was awesome.
Really?
But one thing that he said in it that really just like, I felt, and I was like, man, that was like the coolest compliment I could have received, was he told me, like, he's like, Tyler's a fighter. Like, Tyler's a fighter, Yeah. And I thought that was just like the coolest, like, to be told, like, you're a fighter, you're not going to give up. Like, you're not going to like stand by while, other people get away with injustice or whatever. Like, I'm not always the most assertive person. And there's definitely times where I struggle with, people pleasing attitude a little bit here and there. But like, when push comes to shove, like, my brother noticed like a part of me that I don't even know if I really knew. Was there so much. And so that really resonated with me, man. That was like a really cool compliment to have. And I've definitely kind of carried that with me, just remembering like that he saw that in me, and I'm not going to like, I'm not going to like let that go to waste.
Absolutely.
That attitude,
that dude, spirit. And that's such a cool thing too. Cause when somebody calls you a fighter, man, that's like, I always picture like a bulldog, like kind of like a rough and tumble kind of like, I'm gonna protect this yard kind of guy. And I could see that, man. I think fighting is one of those things, like, you got to fight for what you love. If you don't fight for what you love, something bad's going to happen. So yeah, man, that's an awesome compliment, man. I see it. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah, that was a cool one. Also, like, it's best man speech, that's like a moment.
That's the pumping up. My best man, shout out to, Danny out there, he was my best man, and all he did was make fun of me for half an hour.
That's how most of them go these days.
Exactly, dude. So yeah, man. Dude, we got to move on to our next section because we are just jamming here, man. Oof. What's our next one?
So righteous reviews.
Da, da, da.
If we could,
yeah.
What I want to talk about here is just music, you know? We talked about movies last week.
Yeah.
What would you say your most influential album is or artist?
Man, it's going to be hard to not say Nickelback. Ooh, but I'm not going to.
That's the obvious choice.
Why do they get so much hate online? Why does everyone just not like them? I mean, are they terrible? Probably. I mean, it's the same four chords mostly every song.
Look at this photograph.
Every time I hear it, makes me laugh. Yeah. That was kind of Creed-ish too. I think that was kind of your arms right. All right. Most influential album, man. I mean, you know, if we're gonna just talk Christian, non-Christian, you know, because we listen to a lot of Christian music as a whole, I think. But man, there's a band called Need to Breed. They're awesome.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah,
they, you know, some of their stuff, some of their music is just so. It's not too churchy, you know. It's something that you can listen to, you know. And I love worship music. I love praise music. I love all kinds of music. I love, you know, I'll listen to, you know, some of the songs from when I was growing up with Green Day and Fall Out Boy, all this, you know, all these songs that kind of remind you of, like, you know, just driving.
Yeah,
you know, and
being
like
a teen.
Yeah, John Mayer getting in there, you know.
I love it.
Yeah, so like, you know, I can listen to all that stuff, but then when it comes to like, okay, I want to listen to something that's gonna, like, you know, put me in a good mood to go and do something. So I'll put on some Need to Breathe, and they're kind of like Mumford and Sons a little bit, yeah, in the sense of like they've got a unique sound to them, and they are awesome. And we saw them in concert, me and Renee did, and we were just so enamored by the fact that their production and their concert was just so good, like. You know, usually you'll go to a Christian concert, it's a little cheesy, you know, you're like, all right, cool, you know, the songs are cool, awesome. But then, like, these guys just made it into a production.
Yeah.
And a quick story about going to that concert actually was this couple behind us, because we it was called the Boynton Beach Amphitheater, and that's an outside venue. And basically, people can just buy season passes to go to any, you know, they'll pick a random band and go. And because the concert's going on, alcohol is kind of cheaper. And okay, so they'll go. And so there's this, you know, it's a Christian band. Everybody knows a Christian band.
Yeah.
There was two Christian bands before they actually took the stage. So you're kind of thinking, okay, cool. You know, this is, you know, jamming or whatever. And these people behind us are drunk and making out hardcore.
It's always awkward.
Yeah, and I'm like, right, I'm kind of turning around. I'm like, all right, I get it. You guys love each other. So I'm thinking, okay, cool. This is awesome. And then they're making out right heavy. And we've got good seats because we got these tickets like a year in advance. And dude, the lady reaches out and grabs my shoulder while she's kissing her husband. And I'm like, what? Like, why are you? I don't want to be involved.
Don't drag me into this.
Yeah, don't listen. You got enough problems over there. And dude, she is not breaking eye contact with her husband. She's just rubbing my shoulder. And I'm like,
dude,
what the heck? And Renee's looking at me like, what the heck? You know, so we're married like, what, 2 years or a year at this point, you know, and we're just like, okay, this is super weird. You know, but yeah, that Need to Breed concert was great. But we did watch the rest of it from the back just because we had to avoid the drunk people. So yeah, Need to Breed, man. Shout out to them. They're awesome.
Dude, they're so talented.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have some really amazing music.
Yeah, dude.
I think I'd have to say, and anybody that, the guys in my band would know this. Like, mm-hmm. I think I could guess it right now because we just loved this album and it had a huge influence on, you know, the music that I liked to play and the music that I like to write. But it's by a band called Phoenix.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
The album is called Wolfgang Amadeus.
What?
Sort of a play on, you know, Mozart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, oh my gosh, these guys, well, first of all, they're French. So, you know, French people, and, you know, if we just want to generalize real quick, French people, like, dude, they have passion, right? It's a passionate culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these guys just make the most amazing music and just so creative and like, just a really, at least at the time, so unique, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that that's part of what I loved about it is like, I remember falling in love with this album and their music and their philosophies on music, and then being like, I want more. You mm-hmm. ever have that instance? I want more of this, but mm-hmm. no, I can't find it anywhere else. You know what I mean? You kind of get hooked.
And that's the mark of an artist, man. If you're able to like fall in love with specifically what they do.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is awesome, and you won't find it. Like you said, you won't find it anywhere else. You know?
I remember just search. I mean, this was like maybe this was probably like 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. So I was finishing up high school, you know, that time frame. And I remember like looking for albums and just like searching and searching and trying to find stuff that I thought was like comparable, and I just nothing could touch it. Exactly. Like that was an incredible experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, whenever you find something like that that inspires you to that level, like that's worth holding on to, man. Like that's so cool. Such a cool experience, and it doesn't happen all that often. But
yeah, dude. No, and I've had bands like that, and the crazy thing about music, I feel like it's such an influential force. Like if you'll listen to a band and you're like, oh man, this is just like, this really puts me in a certain way. It puts me in a certain mood. It makes me feel like, ooh, you know, like I can achieve something, you know? So like, and that's why music therapy is so important, and people that, you know, like if I'm in a terrible mood, I'll, you know, make a pot of coffee, you know, get some good like jams going on.
Yeah.
And somehow I just like feel better, you know? And like, what's, you know, John Mayer and coffee. It's like,
that's right. It's that's your advice to me.
It works, man. It really does, you know? So yeah, man, band's awesome. And then, you know, you got so many different variations too. Like how does one human race develop so many different musical variations? Like you've got death, heavy metal, rock, and then you've got Mozart.
Yeah.
You know, and then even if you listen to those two, they may sound completely different, but they all follow the basic rules of music. You have to have a key. You know, like that's crazy to me how music is kind of, it's chaos, but it's also order in the same, you know, realm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. And the way it relates
and
to
you're
science
more musical
and
inclined than me. So,
well, and just, but you can appreciate it nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Like I think everyone, well, most people, you know, really can just appreciate like how crazy, mm-hmm. like the idea of music is and like how mathematical it is.
Yeah.
Like literally mathematical, mm-hmm. and like how there's certain principles that can guide it, you know, like any art form, there's certain principles that can guide it. But the true mark of a master is when you know the principles, and once you know them, you can break them.
Ooh,
you know what I mean? And
then
it's so cool to when you find those artists that are mm-hmm. just beyond what you could, you know, really.
Yeah, because they're almost like playing with the system a little bit. Like they're like, oh, so obviously I can play this chord progression, but what if I layer it with this chord progression? And you're like,
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Magnifique.
Dude.
Yeah. So, dude, man, music has always been, you know, just awesome. A big, huge part of our, like, why me and Renee decided to date was because our Pandora lists synced. Every time she'd play a song on her Pandora, it would be the same song that I'd listen to all the time. So, you know.
That's how you know you're compatible.
I'm telling you, right? Man.
You compare those Pandora, those Spotify lists.
I'm telling you. Dude.
Oh man, that's good.
So we have the deeper dive section, man. This is our last section. Unfortunately, it's coming to an end, our pod. But we still got the best part for last, right?
That's right.
So what do we got, Ty?
All right. And this is, I love this question. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that the present is really better than your past?
Oof. Big question. Big question, man. And I think we were going over the notes you wrote and stuff like for it, and just me thinking about this question, man. It's a big question. I think a lot of people will say, you know, especially people, I guess, that live in the glory days, you know, mm-hmm. say their high school experience was like the bomb.com. You know, they were like, yeah, hey, this is awesome. You know, I was a high school quarterback and I had all the girl, and then they graduate and say, you know, I don't make that scholarship. I have to go to community college. And, you know, and then their life doesn't turn out as well. I think those kind of people do feel like the past is better than the present or the future.
Yeah.
And those people kind of stay trapped in who they are. But for me personally, I'm the kind of person, and this is just like, you know, Myers-Briggs personality type. My personality type does look at the past and compares future events to the past and kind of, and this is a rough part about it, is that I like rate certain experiences and I'm like, well, this is probably not as good as what I had before. You know, like if I go to like, you know, a theme park or if I go to a restaurant, And I'm like, oh, well, this is, you know, I don't think this compares to the best place that I've been to. So I'm always comparing, contrasting. And that's the tough part about my personality. I'm always trying to analyze and then kind of get to a better place. But honestly, I do a lot of my personality as well does live within the future. I'm always trying to think of the better thing, the greater thing, and what's next, you know. And so me personally, I feel like I love the present. I love where I'm at, but I struggle with staying in the present sometimes. And that's where my wife's personality is kind of like my foundation, where she's more of a, all right, let's figure it out today kind of person.
Yeah. Then, you know, and sometimes like my personality, I feel like I can get lost in my own, you know, head or lost in my thoughts. And it's almost like you're not present because you're not fully enjoying the moment.
Right.
And I like what you said about, you know, you and Renee kind of balancing each other. I feel like, I feel like Katie does that for me a lot,
right.
Where she'll remind me to, so to speak, like, you know, stop and smell the roses, you know, walk a little slower.
Yeah.
You know, look at where you are, look around, like,
don't
take
eat
it
so
in.
Fast.
Don't eat. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. She taught me all that. I mean, I used to eat so fast and I think it's in a way it's good. I think I can be pretty, very productive because I think my mind goes a lot, but man, you're missing a lot of life. And I've definitely had experiences where, you know, I've been in a moment, you know, at a concert or at an event or whatever, and you kind of look back at it later and you're like, I was so distracted, I don't think I fully took it in. So I think it's good to just be present,
which is hard. It's hard to look around and say, okay, this is where I'm at in my life, because I think we are more grateful and more thankful when we actually do stop and pause and say, all right, maybe life isn't so bad. You know, like I was reading a quote that said the car that you have is luxury for the person that has the walk and you know, in his shoes. And then the shoes that person has is a luxury to the person that doesn't have shoes. And like, so, you know, and then, you know, so it's just like a chain effect of like realizing, like, if I'm just thankful for the fact that I'm breathing, that I'm living, that my day is actually, that I'm in the present, you know, I think we can reflect on the present and say, okay, this is not as bad as I thought it was.
You know, it's interesting. I've actually heard researchers who theorize, you know, whether or not nostalgia, like the emotion nostalgia or the mindset or whatever you want to call it, nostalgia, whether it's good or bad.
Ooh,
and I think we tend to think of it as a good thing. Like if you see, you know, that movie that you grew up on and it's a little grainy.
Tommy Boy.
You know, you slap Tommy Boy, the VHS, in your VCR. And you know, it's got that little bit of a haziness because it's old. And you kind of have those nostalgic feelings for those kind of things. And,
right.
And some people theorize that that's good. Mm-hmm. And some people theorize that that's never good, believe it or not. I mean, some people believe that... that nostalgia is only, because I think when translated literally, it means a good sadness.
And, oh, really? That's what that word means.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that's, to me, that sort of fascinates me. I'm always fascinated with the idea of this sort of the dichotomies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in music, a song that sounds sad but has happy lyrics, or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, I love
like
the
when you're sad and you want to hear a sad song.
Why does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like this idea of like a good sadness, it's like, what emotion is this? Do I want to feel this?
Right.
Or do I want to avoid this? And sometimes it's hard to know with nostalgia because you get a warm, fuzzy feeling remembering a good time or a better time, or, you know, so to speak, quote unquote. But you also get a little bit of a sadness that you're not there anymore.
Right.
So I think it's really important that we remember that when we look back on good things, We're always seeing those in those rose-colored glasses. And when I thought about that, or I heard that, it shifted my mindset a bit, so that when I look back on these times and I think, oh, I wish I had that again.
Yeah.
I always remember, you know, I'm definitely seeing that through rose-colored glasses. Like, there were things going on at that point in my life that were not as good as they are now.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't married at that point in my life to an amazing woman who balances me out and makes my life so much better, you know? So I shouldn't look back and think, I want that again. As much as that was a good time, you know, whatever that time is, there were things about it that weren't as good as now. And so I think we need to keep looking forward, whether or not we, you know, dwell on the past much. We got to keep looking forward and focus on what we have right now and what's great about right now.
Yeah, and some people I feel have a more propensity to think about their past as good, and some people think of it more as bad. So, like, I'll talk to somebody, you know, from my childhood, and I'll remember something completely different than the way they remembered it, you know, and I'll, and, you know, say, like, the whole thing of, like, you know, if you don't have a very good relationship with your family, and then you say, oh, well, you know, my childhood is just the worst, blah, 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 and your family says, well, you just remember the bad times. Or you have the opposite effect where you're like, no, you just remember the good times. So, like, there are...
That's interesting.
Yeah, so there's people, you know, that grow up, and I was reading a story where a mom was... She was talking to her child, and her child has grown at this point, and said, Mom, you know, I used to miss what we used to do together, where we would just kind of sit around, and I would have little finger food, and we'd watch TV. And the mom was like, well, those were the times that I was at my worst and I couldn't cook. So I made you a sandwich and we sat in front of the TV because I was going through depression.
Wow.
You know, but the child remembers the good things. They don't remember that it was a bad moment for the mom. You know, they remember that that was like a fun thing. So I feel like different people have different ideas of the past. And sometimes that can either shape how you are now and affect your present, or that can be like an awesome thing. And so, yeah, no, it's definitely an interesting topic. I think we definitely have to have somebody on here on the show that, you know, is really good at, you know, dissecting these questions a little further, because, man, it,
yeah,
I like nostalgia. I really do. I'm like, oh, you know, that one time, but then you're right. I get that little, oh man, I wish, but
yeah.
I've got to balance that in my life.
Yeah. Know? And I think you talked about that person that, you know, kind of gets stuck in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously that's too far one way. Mm-hmm. And then there's the person that never looks back and maybe never learns from anything, or maybe they, you know, they don't remember people after they're out of their life for a little while. Yeah. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily good either. So it's good to look forward.
Well, you
got to
remember where you come from.
You got to remember where you come from. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People kind of forget, you know, as they get older. I think that's kind of just the culture in America. They really feel like, you know, past is the past, you know, I don't really have to, you know, go back to my hometown and whatever,
yeah.
You know, maybe they won't accept me. Maybe I'll feel, you know, so the past could be super hurtful for somebody and they don't want to dive back into that. So their gut reaction is, I'm done with this, you know?
Yeah, but cut all ties and move on. And
yeah, but you can learn something from it. You know, you can look back at your... Like, I've had super painful experiences, and thinking and reflecting on them, man, those were the things that shaped me. You know, those were the things that motivated me and, you know, not necessarily a chip on my shoulder, but more of a, like a reminder, hey, you know, look how far you've gotten, you know, so...
And sometimes those moments away, you know, from something good, it really helps you to appreciate how good it was too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think living with my parents, you know, I probably took things for granted.
Right.
And then once I moved out and kind of was on my own, I was like, oh man, you know, I kind of do, like, there was good things about that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, man. We'll discuss it further, man. But I'm just super excited. This, you know, just doing this podcast has been awesome, and I think we're going to touch on a lot of topics. What do we have next week? I think we're talking about anger.
Yeah, I want to talk about grisly emotions.
Ooh, this is going to be good.
Yep.
Yeah,
man, I think that's going to be a really good one, because we know what it's like.
Yeah.
Good, you know, good emotions, bad emotions, you know?
Oh, man, dude.
Got to deal with them.
Yeah, I'm excited about next week, and we're just excited because everybody's been... you know, commenting on our stuff, saying, hey, when's the next episode? So we're trying to get these out as soon as possible, but it does take a little bit to record and all that, but we're just excited. You know, and if you are listening right now and you have made it all the way to the end of our podcast, we want to mention to you that we do have a Patreon. So
yes, so yeah, if you're hearing what we're doing, guys, episodes 1 and 2, and you're feeling good about it, definitely consider jumping over to our Patreon, and just, you know, you can pledge as little as $1 a month, And honestly, that really just helps us a lot. Mm-hmm. Like we said last week, we would buy anything.
Anything for a dollar. Listen, that dollar's going to go somewhere. It might go to a McDouble at McDonald's. It might go to a piece of gum.
Hey, we're not judging.
But send it over to the Grizzlies, yeah, man. Bring it over here. You know, give us that dollar. That's $12 a year. That's less than Netflix. Netflix is like $14 right now. Disney Plus is $6.99. And listen, just for becoming a Patreon, we hook you up with a personalized thank you. And then if you want to go $5 a month, man, we send you an awesome Graceful Grizzly sticker. Oof. And we, you know, they are just a little tokens of our appreciation because you guys, the listeners, are the priority right now. We want you guys to feel part of the family. So
yeah, everything we do, we're filtering it through a lens where we want it to be enjoyable for you, and we want you to get something out of it. I mean, what's the point of Mauricio and I sitting here doing this if we're not adding value to your life? So
yep,
you know, definitely, you know, keep sending us those reviews. We've seen some reviews coming in. Ooh, that stuff's really helpful.
Every person that was on our Apple podcast that gave us a 5-star, you were awesome,
dude. Yeah, we got several of them. So keep it up, guys. Keep the support coming. We do not take that for granted. We really appreciate it, and we love you guys so much.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.